Blog Talk Radio. All right. One of my all-time favorite bumper tunes, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Keep Your Head to the Sky. You know, lyrically, it has such great significance. Again, it's one of the most iconic groups that you will ever hear, that's for sure. And they're, unlike so many of the more current groups, you'll find that their lyrical content is so very significant, just in terms of you know, what they bring to the table in lyrical content. And I thought it was appropriate for this evening's program because as some of the lyrics portray, I'll just give you a few of them. Master told me one day I'd find peace in every way, but in search for the clue, wrong things I was bound to do. Keep my head to the sky for the clouds to tell me why. As I grew with strength, kept me as I repent. Keep your head to the sky. And it just goes on. It's a beautiful song. I encourage anyone who's not familiar with it to become familiar with it. Well, with that said, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and well, as I like to say, you're in the right place at the right time. Here at Progressive News Weekly, week in and week out, we do bring you news and information that's, I like to say, cold, or gathered from around the world. Well, more realistically, typically within the United States. And although sometimes we do cross the borders, it's news, we like to say, that you can use. It's news for you, by you, and typically of you, because you, the listener, often determine what the topics and or guest will be. So I encourage you to continue to do that. Reach out to me at Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore, C-L-A-1-8, at msn.com, and let me know how you feel about our programming and if there's a subject matter and or a guest that deserves to be heard or discussed. Because some of the subject matter, well, I dare say most, you won't hear on mainstream. And if you do, it's presented with a political or business spin, or it's just not given the time that it deserves. You know, so often the news we hear is just bad news. And it's not to take away from, you know, the person who's been shot or assaulted in the street. But that's not all about, is it? I mean, that's not the only news that there is. I mean, isn't there news about the child or the lady or man who survived some catastrophe? Or isn't that news when you hear of a new discovery that was made? Shouldn't that get just as much airtime? Now, don't misunderstand me, because you hear those things on mainstream media. But if you take a little bit of a survey, as I've done many times over many years, it's one of my backgrounds in statistics, you'll find the bulk of the news is negative news. And I just dare say it's not necessary. So, yes, sometimes the things we talk about don't appear to be positive, but we do bring them with somewhat solutions, at least. So, well, with that said, I'm so pleased this evening with our guest, someone that means a lot to me personally. He's a friend, he's a mentor, and he's truly a remarkable mind. In his modesty, he may not. He may not subscribe to that. But having been around this individual enough, I just happen to know that to be a fact. And I'm appreciative whenever he takes the time to join us to share his nuggets of wisdom with us. Now, if you haven't caught this yet, I'm putting that proverbial carrot out there. It's, in fact, it's sort of a teaser. Because I really do want you to, I want you to subscribe. Send me that email so I can privy you to who the upcoming guest will be for the given week. Because I do send out the email to hundreds, if not tens of more than that, around the country to inform you of who our guest will be. So that then you can share that with others. It's important. The numbers are important. Indeed, my guest speaks numbers, and we may get into some of that dialogue. So with that said, he does have some limited time. So without further ado, for those of you who are sitting back, and we have new listeners every week, so some of you probably don't know, and you're saying, okay, already, who is this? I'm talking about the one and only Dr. Glenn Mendoza. Dr. Mendoza is a medical doctor. He's well-respected in that field, in fact. He's also a pranic healer. We may talk a little bit about that. He's an author, meditation expert, astrology specialist. He is a wealth of information, and he truly cares about people, about the human genome. Dr. Mendoza is respected worldwide. He's one of only a handful or two of master pranic healers. So this truly is, again, a treat to have Dr. Mendoza with us. And so with that said, Dr. Mendoza, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Hello, Daryl. How are you? Thank you for the invitation. Again, happy to join you and your listeners on this usual Thursday evening. So thank you very much for the invitation.
It's always
I think you. I think you're doing a good public service, as always, to connect the world to the relevant and updated signs of the times or something like that. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm happy to join you.
It's truly a pleasure. I especially appreciate it because I know you've been traveling, as you often do around the world. I believe it was Russia, if I may say.
Yes.
That you were most recently. Yeah. How was Russia?
Actually, it's interesting. It was
tell
nice.
Us something
about it. It's my second time in Russia. So we went there. Sometimes we have. My conclusion is that a lot of people have different opinions of countries.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're partly right and mostly wrong. And they're beautiful people. I'm telling you, we went to Cuba four months ago. And I was expecting a country who's poor, maybe have difficulties. They have difficulties, but the people are wonderful. Even in Russia, the people are wonderful. I guess when it goes, I sort of come to the conclusion, like when it goes up into the sticks and all that, the good people are forgotten, the families, they have families. Just like us, they go to the park and enjoy themselves. They bring them to the museums and enjoy themselves. So to me, that's the cultural differences is an eye opener in some ways, and getting to know the people also. That's my conclusion. When you travel in the world, sometimes you experience people. And I probably you had that. Anybody who's listening, everybody, you go to a country, somehow you have this anticipatory feeling. You said, what am I going to do here? How are they going to take me? Then all of a sudden, they seem to be friendly, or you appreciate the people, different kinds of people. You know, that kind of thing. To me, that was nice. And one thing I realized also, that there was nice thing about Russia, I don't want to say negative things about others, but like in Afghanistan, in the Taliban, I don't know if you've noticed, maybe a year ago, there were historical museums and historical artifacts, centuries, hundreds of years, and they destroyed everything. They said, this is not it. One thing I've seen about Russia, you have to understand, at one point in time, they went to the Soviet Union. They become a communist, socialist. But what happened was that they recognized that there are part of their culture or their history that they have experienced, and they have to preserve it. That's why the spiritual revival or the spiritual there was a spiritual culture around the 16th, 17th century, particularly on saints and with the royalties, with the emperor and the Tsar, they built churches. It's interesting. I think you'll appreciate this. They said the rich people sponsor the churches. And it is a saying that this is the way to compensate for the sins that they have committed. So the bigger the church, the more sins the person have. So we were in Moscow, and they said, who do you think built the St. Basil Church, which is the biggest church in Moscow? It was Ivan the Terrible. So it's interesting how people, when they build churches, they said, oh, these were built by rich people, these were built by the emperors and all that. So anyway, to me, overall, it's nice to have experience different countries, different cultures and people. Yeah. So that's basically it.
You said something that I think was profound and so pertinent, and that is that we have perceptions of countries as though they're people, you know, Russia being the anti-Americans and the Cubans being anti-Americans, and even so far, and there'll be those, because I speak my truth. I can't speak anyone else's truth, but I can just speak my perception, and that's why, you know, we're live, and those who want to comment, you're welcome to comment. We may disagree, but we won't be disagreeable. It's the call-in number is 347-838-9142. But I say that because I was just going to say, when you start talking about the Middle East and some of the countries over there, like you're saying, in Afghanistan, and you think in terms of the country, you think in terms of though it's an individual. Now, granted, I'm not discounting, and North Korea is another, I'm not discounting the fact that many countries have an indoctrination over many of the people, such that those peoples may take on a certain mindset. But at the same time, people, as you just stated, they just want to be happy, and they just want to take care of their families, and they just want to experience love. That's universal. And so
exactly.
I think we need to be careful with that stereotype.
Yeah, you said it. Just because they're Soviet Union, they hate Americans. I never felt, you know, I have the American passport. I don't feel hatred. I don't feel that at all. It's interesting, and it's like I just blended it into their city and all that, and it was interesting. And we went to the park. You could see the families, exactly what you said, trying to pursuit of happiness. Also, They just want to be happy. They just want to take care of the family, take care of the children. And what happened when it's politicized, and I probably, that is what's happening in them as I see it, when it becomes politicized, we look at them as, and they don't like us, we don't like them, that kind of thing. The basic unit, the family, is universal throughout the world. When we were in Cuba, they were wonderful people. I thought we were going to have, you know, if we get sick here, why are we going to do that? The infrastructure has not really progressed, but within it, there are very, very nice, loving people. And I don't see, as far as I'm concerned, I said, they became victims of somehow when governments start to pressure each one, the basic structure of society is actually sort of muddled and distorted. Anyway, so that to me, that was the important thing. Even the Middle East, the family also, the people are, you could see them, they're happy, they're smiling. That to me, that was just wonderful. I just want to travel and see the world and see cultural differences, people, places, ideas, and new things that are different perception.
That's a beautiful thing. You know, it makes me think about your book, which if we have time, I definitely want to speak of. And that was the book that you most recently wrote, The Better Person Mindset, Be the Best You Can Be. I want to touch upon that in a moment, also with your latest project as well. And I'm going to link that with the opening conversation. But I'm going to segue over before we do that to get right into something that I know our listeners are always looking forward to you discussing, and that is our lunar and solar environment right now, which from a lunar perspective, we're under a full moon environment. This is Thursday,
yes.
So I believe it was Tuesday we had a full moon. Am I right?
Yes.
I believe.
Yes. Yes.
And so I know that you have studied that over many, many years and do a great service that you've been doing for many, many years in the meditative service around that full moon. And you do that for a specific reason. It's no, I understand and know, I've been at your center. It's no coincidence that you specifically provide that meditative service during or around the full moon for a specific reason. And when you're able to come on, and it's been so good that you've been able to come on most months, I'm hoping next month I'll just throw that out there because that's my special month. I just thought
Cancer,
I'd drop that
yes.
one real fast.
yes, I do remember. I do remember.
So, but you do that for a reason. Now, our listeners, they follow you because when I send out my emails that Dr. Mendoza is going to be on, the numbers always jump. And so I know they look forward to that because people want to get a perspective, a better perspective of themselves or some insight of themselves, as you've stated many times, and that's one of the reasons why people sometimes do look into what a given sign may, over the years, centuries, have indicated about an individual. So with that said, can you share with us again for the new listeners and just to reiterate for our many existing listeners the significance of the full moon and then segue and touch upon how that sun sign of Gemini ties in with that and then why because I was a three-part question, I think.
Yes, by and large, there is an ancient aphorism or a saying that as above, so below, as within, so without. Apparently, this is an ancient saying that as above, so below, what is happening in the greater macrocosmic is happening within us also. So as, is it related to astrological or the full moon? What is happening? There are some energies in the universe that are actually affecting us. The sun in a certain way affect us. So they it is believed that astrological signs, usually when we are born, there is a certain astrological sign that is dominant at that time. And what happened was that that influences in part our personality, and it brings out our individuality. So that is basically the essence of astrology. In the olden times, these are true in Asia, in China, and it's true in India. As soon as a baby is born, the first thing that they do within 24 hours is go to the astrologer. And the astrologer will plot out and see the energies of this newborn infant. And it's interesting, when I go to India and also in China, there are still some people who still do that. So what happened was that, given example is in China, they go to the astrologer, and the astrologer said, your son is very brave. There's an energy, so much of bravery. So the Chinese, it's interesting, they know the energy of bravery and the sun. They will balance it with a name that is like loving. Or if a person is very, very meek, they will balance it with something that is the opposite. So that's kind of thing that is known in China and also in India. So what happened was that during the full moon, we know that there's an intense amount of energy during the full moon. So since 1994, we've been doing the full moon meditation. We tried to tap into the energies of that specific sign. I think all of your listeners would know what their sun sign is, their astrological sign. You are, Daryl, you are Cancer. There are 12 signs. So every month, there is a certain sign which dominates. In this month, we have Gemini. So what happened during that month, during the full moon, there's a tremendous amount of energy which you can tap as a group service through group meditation. And through group meditation, we could bless the entire planet Earth, bless our families, bless our loved ones, bless our projects to energize it. Take advantage of this energy as we try to energize and bless out the projects. So Gemini, by and large, is one of the air signs. What is an air sign? Air sign in the astrological language means like mental. So there are three mental signs: Aquarius, Gemini, and we have Libra. These are what we call air signs. They are mental signs. So what happened with Gemini, it was interesting. The Gemini is one of the, which we really need now. Gemini is one of the expression. People, if you look at people who are radio, maybe like you, Daryl, but there are a lot of singers, radio anchor, television anchor. A lot of them are Gemini because they're good in expression. They're good in how to express themselves, the way they use the words, the way they use their art. A lot of them, the television and in the arts, movies are very Gemini. Now, one thing also I'd like to say about Gemini is very diplomacy. So we really need that diplomacy energy at this time of the, when we are having some problems in the world. There are two types of how to deal with issues. Number one, you have the diplomacy aspect, which is really big also. And there is one wherein you have the aggressive energies. So what happened was that when you are aggressive, sometimes there'll be problems if you'll be too aggressive. Once you underestimate your aggressiveness, it will be costly. It will be costly. Look what could happen if in the past wars, world wars, happened because of miscommunication, because of aggressiveness. So that's why on the other part, there'll be diplomacy, the use of discussing it to harmonize conflicting factors. And I think that's what we need in the world right now. So hopefully the world will be a better place once we have those statesmen. That's why we have the Department of State to look into that diplomatic approach in having world peace. So those are Gemini characters. And Gemini also are ideas. They're good in ideas. They just have a lot of ideas. The country, one of the country that is Gemini is actually, so they have a lot of ideas. I usually joke that Italians have a lot of ideas, but the Japanese will modify it and make it in a technological and make a lot of money. But the Italians are a lot of ideas. You could have the Lamborghini. You could have the Ferrari. You have the artistry of a lot of geniuses and arts in Italy. So those are Gemini energies. So that's one thing. And number two, very mental. The Gemini is very mental in nature. So during the full moon, when you do the full moon meditation, you'll be able to tap into this energy. If you're a Gemini, it will be magnified. But for us who are not Geminis, I could tap into the energy of diplomacy, intelligence, expression, ideas during this time of the month. So that is in short, how we try to do the full moon meditation, doing meditation so we could tap into the positive qualities of that certain sign.
You mentioned Italy, country of Gemini. Countries have a sign associated with them?
Yes. Guess what? Aren't the United States is? Cancer.
Let's see.
Cancer.
I was just going to say July 4th.
Cancer. That's why we are the – look, the cancer is like a mother. Any problems in the world, the United States are there. You have a tsunami in Indonesia. The first humanitarian efforts, United States. Very giving, very giving, very motherly. That's the nature of the United States. Very homely also. So that's basically the – each country have their own, and some people have looked into different countries having their own signs. So sometimes it reflects also the general quality or energy of that specific country.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
listeners, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say to our listeners, this has been another aspect of enlightenment for astrology. We understand that countries have a sign under which they fall, and that this goes back for centuries. This whole aspect of astrology. And contrary to what some may believe who are maybe very, very religious, it's not sacrilegious. Dr. Mendoza, would you speak to that before we move on to the next subject?
Yeah,
I mean, some
say,
you believe in astrology, that's witchcraft, speak to that? I mean, the stars aren't witchcraft. I mean, whatever you believe in, if it's God or Jesus,
in,
Buddha, whatever.
Maybe to balance it, Shakespeare in Julius Caesar said, the fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. because we look at ourselves as underlings. So what happened was that there are some people, they blame their fate, they blame their problems to the stars. I just want to let you know, I'm not prosperous because the stars are like this. I have bad luck because of the stars. You know, they blame the stars, but never themselves. So usually there is a balance. In fact, you mentioned about the book, the first chapter we have is to know thyself. And sometimes in my experience, all of us, we try, every now and then we like to look at the horoscope. Although trying to understand who we are, what we are, what's our sign, although we know it, we'd like to read it because we get to know ourselves more. As we get to know ourselves more, that's even a door that opens up into other things. So what happened is that by and large, our goal is to become a better person. We'd like to become a better person. I don't see any person who said, I'd like to be the worst, most terrible person in this whole world. I don't think nobody has that. I just want to let you know, I want to be the worst doctor that will ever existed. Nobody has that. I don't think even our president says, I'd like to be the worst president in the United States. That doesn't happen. There's an inherent or an innate energy that always wants to become a better person. You want to become a better partner. You want to become a better radio a program facilitator. You want to be a better a person to know the current times, the energies, or the current events of what is happening in the world. Everybody wants to become a better person. I want to become a better nurse, better child. To me, that's important. So by and large, astrology is just a tool, and I would tend to believe that there are some point in time that the religions are also looking up to it. But of course, since when you look at astrology, they think we forget about God, which is actually not true. I hope that answers your question on religion and
yes,
astrology.
I think it does. It does. I think that closing sentence that there are some that are maybe threaten that when you're looking at the stars and their configuration, that you're putting that above whatever religion that is, and from what I've experienced, it's not just a Christian thing, it's not a Muslim thing or a Jewish thing or a Buddhist thing. I think I've seen it across all. I've been fortunate enough to meet people in my lifetime from many walks of life, that you have some in all of those disciplines that have that mindset. And so I think you summed it up when you said that those individuals that feel that way have themselves created that controversial relationship. It wasn't something that existed. It's founded or grounded. It is something that was created. Say, well, if I believe that, then I can't believe that. And they're not contradictory, complementary, from what I've understood. And
I think you got it. I think it has to become. Yeah, remember the time we're in. President Reagan and Nancy Reagan were actually consulting astrologers, and it became a big thing. Why are they consulting?
Yeah.
You know, the more information you have, I have a feeling was that the more better judgment you're going to decide if you have to decide on anything like that. In fact, in the olden times, remember, in the olden times, the kings, they have what they call their mystics or their priests. Or if you have to look at like the 300, they have this muses who could sense the energy. and they consult them. Shall I go to war? Shall I do this? And then the king will ask the commander, said, is the army ready? Then he will ask the politicians, are we ready to go to war? So he gets all these ideas to make a good decision. Guess what? In Star Trek, same thing. Star Trek, commander, what are we going to do? We're going to the black hole. What are our chances? Okay, this is 90%. We could, we'll do this. We have the power. Then they'll ask the mystic, they will sense, what do you sense? Oh, I sense that there are a lot of tension and all. So it's just balance, giving you more information to have the right and appropriate judgment. Everything to make us better.
Excellent. And that leads me into the book. Now, your last book that you wrote, Better Person Mindset, you said something just now that is a great segue to that, and you talked about information. You know, I've looked through the book a few times. We actually were at a point last year even when we were kind of starting to do a little bit of a book review, which I love, because it gives us an opportunity to speak with the author, and although we may interpret the book and enjoy the book, perhaps there's something about the book that maybe we're misinterpreting as it was intended to be presented. As they say about a piece of art, your perception is reality. So however a person perceives it, I think there's some validity there, but it also has to be considered what the intent was of the creator or that reading or that piece of art. It's like Van Gogh, you know, in his great picture with the moon and how that's perceived. And then when you speak with an art expert and understand what was behind that and what his mindset is, and I say that because I just experienced that. I was at the Art Museum, MoMA, Museum of Modern Art, and they had a display. And I've always looked at that one picture of Van Gogh, and it's one of his more famous ones, kind of dark picture, the moon overhead, the village. When I got an explanation, I had a different perspective. I was like, whoa, that makes sense. So that's what he was thinking. I mean, that's what he expressed as to what he meant by the picture. So it broadened my perspective. And I'm saying that to say, going back to your book, you opened up with Know Thyself in the first chapter, and then Karma in the second chapter, and then the Power of Thoughts in the third chapter, and Virtue of Gratitude in the fourth chapter, and so on. Folks, if you haven't gotten the book, you really need to. And I'm not just trying to promote a book just to promote a book for you to read for Dr. Mendoza. This really is a thought-provoking book, and it's not a novel. You can get through it in a week if you're a reader, and a few days if you're a real, real reader.
Yes. It's a quick, it's an easy read.
It is. It really is. The Better Person Mindset. Be the best you can be. 9 things to think and act. And I'm saying that to get to my point, which is sometimes it takes me a long time to do that, but forgive me, folks. You've been with me long enough, you know I do that. But what I'm saying, it's as much information as you can get. That's what you just said. Great leaders look for information as much as possible to make good, sound judgment and decisions. And what you've done there is you've given us information in your book, starting with ourself. I love the way you opened up, Know Thyself, because upon that foundation, everything else resides. If you don't, you know, have some grounding, that's the way I perceived it. Having you here, I don't know if that had anything to do with why you opened up with Know Thyself as opposed to putting that in the third or sixth chapter, but that's the way I took that. First and foremost, know thyself as you venture into just about anything, not to do a book review again. And as I said, we got up to about 4 chapters, and perhaps sometime in the months ahead we can pick up from there, because I know our listeners are saying, you know, we actually got into karma, and we got into power of thoughts, and we touched a little bit upon the chapter of gratitude. But, yeah, listeners, we're not going to get into happiness and cycles and service and awareness and meditation in depth tonight. But just as an overview of that. I know there, I don't know having, you know, you telling me this, but I believe strongly that there was some rationale behind the sequence of the chapters. Would you just share a little bit about that, with those chapters being number one, know thyself, number two, karma, number three, power of thoughts, number four, virtue of gratitude, and then you get into pursuit of happiness, the doctrine of cycles, sacrifice
yeah.
and service being seven, awareness eight, and meditation nine. What about the sequence
yeah.
of which you presented that?
These are tools. There are nine chapters. There are nine things that we could think of. Not only think, but we have to act. You just don't think. Sometimes we get the information. The problem I see with reading a book, even for myself, I'm so inspired. But so what? What am I going to do? So you have to act. Okay, you're inspired right now. So what am I going to do? So what happened was that those chapters were all divided into topics wherein you will need to become a better person or whatever you would like to be. And what happened is that the first chapter you just mentioned about knowing thyself, Daryl, is like, hey, this is important. I bet you there are some people who go to psychics. There are some people palms read. There are some people who would like to have the tea reading. Why are we doing this? Because we wanted to know a bit of ourselves. And sometimes hearing it will sort of strengthen our understanding of who we are, what we are, and what we can do. So another thing I'd like to point to on knowing thyself is what we call core values. Core values. Each one of us have just a few core values. And these core values are just so important. A lot of people are not aware of it, but the way they act, if they just, like what you said about Van Gogh's painting, you'll just be told about the certain information and you will click. So there are core values. What are these core values? Example. What's important for me, this is true, what's important to me is honesty and justice. So what happened was that, my core value when dishonesty, I could not tolerate that. When there is injustice, I cannot tolerate that. I will fight for injustice. I will fight to make sure that we know the truth. Some people have different core values. Some people's core values is actually the family. So the family. So what happened was that when we have the family, you can do anything, but if you criticize my family, you've just touched my core value. Do you understand? So there's some people who are core values to religion. This is just too important for me that once you challenge my religious beliefs, you have touched my core values. So that is knowing yourself also. So we realize each one of us have our core values as we know ourselves. That's my core value. No wonder it's important to me that truth is I fight for it. I will do the best I can if there's dishonesty. I will not tolerate that. Do you understand? So it's like knowing thyself. Another facet of knowing thyself is there are core values within us also. Not only the positive qualities that we have is that we want to develop.
So that's very important to assess one's core values.
Yes.
I mean, and literally make a point
yes.
of that.
Uh-huh. And I ask you, Daryl, what's your core value?
Well, you touched upon a couple of them. I mean, you really did.
Yes.
And one of them is equality, is
yes.
fairness. I mean, that's a
yes.
that's a hot button for me. I will not tolerate that someone is being treated unfairly.
Uh-huh.
Based on anything, for any reason. And so that is a hot button of mine, I would say, is that aspect of fairness. And even to the point where I know some people will say, well, I will draw my line with you on that, Daryl. Because
I think
there are some aspects, I'll say this, and I've said it before, and to those who can handle it, that's good. And if you can't, well, you know, I'm not one to try to judge that. I'll put you in prayer that maybe you can open your mind up. But I'm saying that to say that I've said that there's some aspect that can be beneficial of just about everything. If you just learn, even if it's something bad and you learn that's not what you want to do. And some people say, well, I don't see anything good about something bad. And I'll say, wait a minute, if it's nothing else but to know not to be involved or do that thing, that's something good about it. I'll give you an example as our president. I mean, there are those that vilify this man. And I say, well, you know, there are some glimmers. There's something there that if I had to, I could say I could find it. And I've had people hang up on me for that because they're so adamant. And see, it ties back to what we said in the very beginning of this conversation about how people judge things on the face value, like with countries, as you said. And so I step back and I say, wait a minute, wait just a moment. You know, there may be something there that we can learn from. And so that's a core value of mine, is that whole aspect of being open-minded and being fair will be my probably one of my top. Because I believe there's enough for everyone. And that's why I touched upon that piece about some people not being able to handle certain things I say, because there are aspects of for everyone, and when someone has too much, there's a controversy there. Well, who are you to say what's too much? This is a democratic society. Well, you know, that gets controversial, and I'm not going to go into that. That's another conversation for another show. But if you have $1 trillion, you know, at your disposal, and somebody, you know, has nothing, you know, I'm saying, well, what are you doing with that? I want to have an idea of are you doing anything to help someone at the lower end? Well, some would say, well, they don't have to do anything. They earn that. They have a right to that. Okay. So anyway, we won't go into that. That gets fuzzy by some standards. That's a slippery slope by some. You open that can of worms up, Dr. Mendoza. We're going to close it real quick. But, yeah, I understand the idea of core values to that degree. Hello?
Could ask your listeners also what are their core values. What is my core value?
Yes.
What is your core value? That's why, say, for example, you could criticize how I look. You could criticize my profession. You could criticize, but don't criticize my family. That's my core value. That's why once we realize what we have encroached on that specific core value, that there's it's a sometimes there's lines that should not be crossed. You're right. Well, anyway, I hope
yes, we did. I know your time is so limited. I'll pick up on this if we can, because I'm just looking at the clock, and I know you said that you had another engagement this evening.
Yes.
Getting ready to come up, and I was just about to open up on something with this dialogue about know thyself and core values. I was about to open up the lines and get our listeners engaged, because I know they're riveted. But I know you have something to do. If there's one listener, I may take one. If you'd like to press one on your dial now, the number is 347-838-9142. Let us know a core value that you have. If it's not something that's pressing right now that you want to jump out and say, that's okay. Because I want to revisit this when we have more time, Dr. Mendoza. With that said,
yes.
You have another project that you're working on in the form of a book. And so before you get off the air, I have to put you on the spot because, well, you know, Dr. Mendoza, that's what I do. We've been doing this for many years. And when I have a chance, just like when and you brought out open a better person mindset. I put you on the spot even before the book came out. So I'm going to do that. I know you're working on the project, and hopefully you don't get upset with me. Can you just give us a teaser?
Actually, the second book, which is going to be printed up, is actually in the printers right now. The title is Spiritual Truths. The title is Spiritual Truths. So what happened was that the thing to do, what is spiritual truth? So what happened, different levels of understanding spiritual truth. In summary, they said that there are some desires. There are desires wherein looking into sacredness and spiritual truth is one of the desire that supersedes other desires. So there are different levels of understanding the spiritual truth, and I will describe it in the next shows. So,
That's a good carrot.
In the olden times, like Lord Jesus said, Lord Jesus, how come you tell them in parables? I speak to them in parables, but I speak to you to tell you the inner teachings. He said, for because they see, but they see not; they hear, but they hear not. So what happened was that they're given in parables, but you having the Spirit of God, you have the energy, then you'll be able to express that. So they understand it. So I'll talk more about the spiritual truth and all that. So.
You put the carrot out there. I really want to delve into that. I've got three questions I don't dare even delve into with the time that we only have a minute left with you. So I'm ready.
Okay.
So the book will be out soon, you're saying?
Yes, within a month. It's out. Yes.
Okay. All right, well, hopefully again you'll make it next month for our full moon meditation during my month.
Especially for your
jet
cancer. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Daryl.
Yes. So
thank
Dr.
you very much.
Thank you so much. And so for our listeners, thank you, Dr. Mendoza. We've been talking with Dr. Glenn Mendoza. And all right, have a good night until the next time we talk, Dr. Mendoza. We were talking with Dr. Glenn Mendoza, and he has to scoot. He has an engagement. I know he's running a little bit late for him to be, I think, by 8 o'clock, so he's running behind. And he just shared more time with us than he probably even had. But we're just so grateful to have Dr. Mendoza join us when he can. He's a pranic healer. We didn't really get much into pranic healing. It's an energy modality of healing, non-intrusive. In other words, it's not as though someone is, injecting you or giving you something to drink or eat. It is an energy healing, and it's been practiced for centuries, and there are only a few masters in that art. In the world, of which Dr. Mendoza is one of them. And there have been many programs where he has given a donation of the pranic healing. You can go back on our archives and just search under Dr. Mendoza and get more information on that. You can also go to chronichealingusa.com to the website and get more information as well. That's Chronic Healing, chronichealingusa.com, and it's PRANICHEALING.com, and you can get more information on that. Or you can drop me an email at Daryl_CLA18@MSN.com. That's Daryl, Daryl_CLA18@MSN.com, and get more information there as well. He's also a medical doctor, well respected in that field. I believe you would consider to be an integrated doctor. He uses some holistic modalities as well as traditional medical modalities. As I said, well respected. He served actually as the director of neonatology at the Good Samaritan Hospital of Suffering. I think about that. In Suffering, or he was the director there for 24 years. So he's well respected worldwide in the field of medicine as well as holistically. So that was a treat today, folks. So we've come to the end of another program. If you did have a pressing need to want to express what, as he said, what your core value might be, you can still, we'll take a couple of more minutes before we close out for the evening. That number is 347-838-9142. What is your core value? The book is an excellent book. I go back to that book as a reference. In fact, it's one of those kinds of books that you just go back to. I guess it was about a year ago when the book first came out, when it dropped, he did a book giveaway. And I think he gave away 6 or 7 books for the first 6 or 7 listeners that tuned in. And they were all very pleased with that. So, and I'd like to hear when he comes back again, hopefully toward the end of next month, for the next full moon, and they call in and give us some thoughts about your feelings about the book for those who were able to receive a book free and those who went out and purchased. And I know there are others that have informed me that they went to Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com and ordered the book or bought the book. So with that said, just to talk a little bit about what we spoke of in the beginning of the program, he had mentioned he went to Russia, and it surpassed the stereotypes that we have. We have to be very careful about, you know, politics, folks. Politicians will have you hating someone that indeed is a brother or a sister. A universal brother and sister, maybe not a blood brother and sister. I mean, we all have a kindred like somewhere in the world. It may not be a blood relative, and that's just my belief. And it may not even be of the same persuasion. I know, that's a tough one. White, Asian, religion-wise, Muslim, Christian, Jewish. But there's an energy that surpasses all of that. And you can believe a mother is a mother, the child. There's a love there. I don't care what your religion is, what your race is, you know, your creed, where you come from, and that's love. So if that person, that mother, that child was born in a, let's say, a communist country where they hate Americans, let's say, or they hate their sister country. Say it's Afghanistan, and they have a hatred for those in Jerusalem. And so we have to step back and look at the core. That's what he's talking about. What's at the core of that individual? All indoctrination aside, is it love? Is it just a core desire to be at peace, to live a healthy, happy life? So I think he's on to something when he talks about core values, because those core values, for the most part, they're probably good things. And there's an overlap. Your core value may be different from mine. Your core value may be my family is number one, like he said. Well, that's a core value that I could relate to. I mentioned the core value to me is fairness. Well, how much more fair is to me than for my family to be able to survive by having equal opportunities? So I think those core values all somehow link. I think he's really onto something deep. So I want you to ponder on that. That'll be the homework. You know, I had an interesting experience this week, speaking of politics, where I work. And I think this goes on in most environments. where there's a political side to it. The political side, because the position you hold, whether it's somewhere up the ladder or just maybe in the middle of the ladder or maybe entry level on the ladder, in terms of salary and influence, because those two don't always go together. You can have a very broad influence in terms of responsibility for individuals as a supervisor or manager. You may not make much money, depending on the field that you're in. Or you could make a whole bucket of money in the millions and have a broad responsibility with a few people reporting to you who have broader responsibility. So it doesn't always go hand in hand. The point that I'm making here is that politics exists regardless of that level and that broadness of influence. And sometimes, actually, I believe more often than not, it really does get ugly and nasty. And often we just ignore it and just consider it a part of the landscape. But I believe we need to be more sensitive to that. And I was in a meeting this week, and it just really presented itself in a very ugly way, where there were individuals that were in a position that were new to the position, that were entitled to the position, and others who held that position formerly, who were antagonistic about not having that position at the time, and were, you know, trying in any way possible to present those who currently hold the position in a bad light for no other reason than because they weren't in there. And so, folks, I would just say in terms of values, now I'm not saying core, but maybe you want to try to all consider that as a value. If you see something that's just not right, speak on it. And we need to be careful how we're influenced. Because there were those that were trying to influence me to say, well, you know, that person, you know, they really didn't deserve to be in that. Somebody else should have been in there. And I'm like, wait, time out. That's why I say, you know, with regard to even our president, let's step back and really look at this whole thing. And don't misunderstand, I'm not like all up in his gall and, hey, pro-President Trump. No, that's not where I'm at. Just saying, let's take a close look at this. And takes it for what it is. But that's another conversation to get into any depth of. So, core values, let's look at them. Welcome to our closing statement here. Folks, we all have someone around us that we love, whether we know it or not. I'm saying that because that's a mean people think they don't care about anybody. Not many, but there are probably some. But there's somebody that you do care about. Take the time out and let them know. Just by saying, you know what, I really appreciate you. And just for being here, you'd be surprised what it will do for that individual. And you might even be more surprised at what it would do for you, as well as others around the both of us. So with that said, tell somebody about Progressive News Weekly. Until next time, when we come back together again, and we will have another program for you, by you, and of you, that we believe and our intention is to enlighten you and inspire you and encourage you, empower you, and instill you to make a difference in this planet, on this planet, and maybe in the universe. Until then, I wish you nothing but peace and love and joy and blessings. And understand that there's always a solution. There's always a solution, no matter what we're faced with. Just know that there is always a solution. Much as it may not fit my. So I'm going to close tonight with something that just jumps out at me in terms of our closing bumper tunes. Shout out to all those around the country, folks, and I know I missed some folks last week when I was getting my shout out, you know, from my West Coast and down south, and Texas, my people down there. Of course, I can never forget my home folks in Ohio, all around and about Ohio, Cleveland, my home, South Brown. Go Cavs, go Cavs, go Cavs. I know they're saying you don't have a chance, but we never say that. So with that said, peace and blessings again. You, yours. I'm going to close with what we opened up here. Okay.